So this morning we want to talk about this theme of reboot, and you're going to hear about reboot for quite a while from this point. And so in sort of computer terms, we know that the idea of rebooting means to restart an electronic device. And so how do you reboot an electronic device? You shut it down, and then you start it again. You shut it down, and you turn it back on again. And so what it does is that it resets your computer and it allows it to work properly once again. Unless you're using Windows on your computer, and then rebooting probably doesn't do anything. Can I get an amen from the Mac users in the house? Now that I've alienated almost everybody that are not Mac users. But typically, if something is wrong with your computer and you can't figure it out, you reboot it, you turn it off, and you turn it back on, and the hope is that everything is cleaned out, and now it starts working properly. And so as we look back at 2013, and we look back at our lives, and many of us feel a sense of satisfaction with how 2013 went, but then there are many of us who feel like 2013 could have been better, or maybe we drifted, and it was kind of a waste of time, and we have lots of regrets. And so what I want to talk about this morning is that if you want 2014 to be different than 2013, you're going to have to review, somebody say review, you're going to have to review again and identify the problems. You're going to need to view again the problems that you saw in 2013. And so the bottom line for my talk is that if you want to live this year like new, you're going to have to change your view. If you want to live this year like new, you're going to have to change your view. But you know, one of the most frustrating things about life is that sometimes we try to look back at what the problems are and we can't identify what the problem is. You know, so we write journals, we make New Year's resolutions, and we can't figure out what the problem is. And that's frustrating because year after year, our lives are the same, and there's no change, and we want to reboot, but we don't know what the problem is. And so this morning, I want to address one area. Why, in our minds, you might be fearful, why is this year, or how is this year going to be different than last year? Unless we're able to identify the problems, we're not going to change. Nothing's going to change. You're going to make New Year's resolutions. And this is the last week of January. And how many of you have already sort of forgotten or fallen off your New Year's resolution list? Don't raise your hands. But, you know, like to lose weight, you know, whatever. It's like, forget it. It's already done. That's me too. But the problem is we can't sometimes identify what the issue is. A few weeks ago, there was a smell in our home, and we couldn't figure out what that smell was. And so we were like, oh, man, I wonder what that is. And we couldn't locate it. We sniffed in this area of the house. We sniffed in that area of the house. We sniffed in the kitchen, in the bedroom, and in all the areas of the house, and we couldn't figure out where this smell was coming from. Well, we knew in our minds there was renovation happening on the floor right above us and the unit right above us. And so we're thinking maybe it's the cement or the renovation smell seeping down to our floor. But we figured that wasn't it. And so we began to experience some respiratory problems. And so we were just really confused. But the smell and the odor went away. And so a few weeks passed, and this smell came back. And so each time we called the building management to come up and check it out just to demonstrate, hey, there's this strange odor. I want to make a note of it. And if there's a problem, I want you to do something about it. And so the building management came up, and they're like, well, we can't smell anything because of the cooking that's going on in the kitchen. And I'm like, you're telling me you cannot smell the distinctiveness of that odor? And you know, they're like, no, we can't tell. We don't smell anything. And it's like, you're telling me that this smell is kimchi? Is that what you're telling us? That this foul odor that I'm smelling, you think this foul odor is kimchi? And then I began to realize, wow, Chinese people, you know, think that kimchi is as foul as the odor that we've been smelling. And I was just quite offended at that time. And I was just really disgusted. I'm like, how can you not smell this? And so they went back down. They're like, when you stop cooking, call us back up and things like that. And so now the odor went away. And so we're like, well, we can't call them. They're going to think it's the kimchi. But anyways, then a week later, in the middle of the night, around four or five in the morning, I woke up and I had a hard time breathing. And I woke up because of my coughing. And at this point, my son Elijah had been coughing and just nonstop. You know, most people, we cough for 3 or 4 seconds. He would cough for 15, 20 seconds, not stop, and waking himself up and things like that. And then my wife had been complaining of respiratory issues, and now I'm getting respiratory issues. And I wake up, and I smell this odor. I smell this odor, and I'm thinking, what could this be? I wake up, and I smell around, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, it's mold. It's mold. And so before, when we had mold problems, you know, we did research, so I was a little bit familiar with the dangers of toxic mold, black mold. And so I went online and researched, you know, all of the symptoms and things. Number one, foul odor. Number two, respiratory issues. Number three, headache. Number four, sinus issues. Even our helper was having respiratory issues and things like that. And so I'm like, oh my goodness, it's a mold problem. And immediately I began to think, we've got to move out of our place, you know, immediately. Where are we going to live? You know, what are we going to do? Things like that. Who can I call? You know, and I just begin, you know, how am I going to tell my wife? Come on, husbands, you know what I'm saying? How am I going to tell my wife that we're going to have to, that we have a mold issue? And then I was thinking, how could this be? I mean, because you know the weather, it's been cold. It hasn't been humid. You know, how could it be mold? It can't be mold. We don't have a humidity issue right now in December and January. And I'm thinking, maybe my son spilled, you know, something in you know, and then he like threw it behind the couch, and then it just began to rot and just mold began to collect. And I began thinking, oh my goodness, we're in big trouble. And so I began to look around and try to find it, and we couldn't do it. Early in the morning, the rest of the family woke up, and so we began to investigate, and we noticed that towards the kitchen, it got stronger and stronger. And so we looked at a refrigerator. Maybe it's behind the refrigerator. We touched the fuse box, and it was quite hot. And so we called the electrician to come right away. And they came, and they opened up the fuse box, and they noticed that the wires and the fuse boxes were burnt and were burning. And they had to replace it immediately. And we begin to breathe in those fumes. As they replaced it, the crazy thing is that if we let it go any longer, there could have been a huge fire, and our whole place could have burned down and things while we're gone, and it could have been just a totally messy experience, tragic experience. But by the grace of God, through that bad experience, we're able to locate the problem, fix it, and now we can live in safety and in comfort. But that works only if you can identify what the problem or the issues are. And I don't know what your problems are this year. I don't know what problems that you're having this year. But one thing that I want to identify in order to help you this year for 2014 is that maybe we need to change our point of view of who God is and who we are. Now, if you've heard me preach before, you know that I like to have conversations. And so if there's anything good, you know, I just give you the permission to respond. You can say anything. You can say, amen, you know, that's right. You know, keep going. Say it again. You know, anything goes, you know, whatever's appropriate. Just don't say criticism and don't say profanity. You know, actually, that's happened to me before. But just, you know, I would appreciate it if you keep it appropriate. But maybe what it's going to take is, if you want to live this year like new, you're going to have to change your view. And so I don't know what the problems are, but we're going to need to change our view. And in Scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, somebody say therefore. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And the powerful part of that is, if anyone is in Christ, say Christ. If anyone is in Christ, not in your strength, not in your power, not in your ability, but if anyone is in Christ, say Christ, that he is a new creation. And one thing that I've learned is that of all of my problems and issues, as I look back at 2013, there was a lot of New Year's resolutions that I want to do, that I want to accomplish, that I want to perform, that I want to try, that I want to do. And I realize that every year I try to do these things. I try to get in shape. I try to lose weight. I try to have a quiet time. I try to walk with God. Every time I try, I fail. And I begin to realize the solution is not what I can do, but the solution is who. The solution is not what I must do, but the solution is who. The solution is who. And that person is Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, so many times we try to live our lives based on our own power and our ability and our performance. But your life is not going to change because of your performance. It's going to change because of your position in Christ. Can I get an amen? See, because I've tried. I've tried on my own strength. I've tried in my own ability, and I fail and I fail. But what we need to understand that it's not about our performance. It's about our position in Christ. That we are children of the Most High God, that we are the sons and daughters of the King of all kings, the name above every name, that we are heirs of the throne, that we bear the name of Christ. And as we bear the name of Christ, that is an honor, not a shameful thing. It is an honor to bear the name of Christ. But we go around thinking it's the most shameful thing in this world. We go in our workplaces, we go into the streets, and we're ashamed to be Christians, but it is an honor to bear the name of Christ. Can I get an amen? Because what we have is eternal life. What we have is love. What we have is forgiveness. What we have is grace. What we have is a new life in Jesus Christ. And that's not something to be ashamed of. That's something to be proud of. Can I get an amen? It's not about how well you can perform. It's about our position and bearing the name. Our identity cannot come from the mess that we've made, but it must come from the price he has paid on the cross. See, because it's not about what we do and do and do and all of our New Year's resolutions, but it's about what he has already done on the cross. That salvation and this walk with Christ is not spelled D-O, but it's spelled D-O-N-E. It's not what you have to do, but it's about what he has already done. That on the cross, he paid for your sins. On the cross, he's given you new life. On the cross, he's given you a do-over to start again, a new life. That is the God that we serve. And this is the year. This is the year for you all. This is the year for us that God is going to do something great. Do you believe that? God is going to do something powerful. This is the year, but you're going to need to change your view. I want to show you a picture of something that's awesome. I mean, it's literally full of awe. You might not know what that is, and you're probably looking at that, and you're not impressed. And just for the record, I wonder why the word awful doesn't mean full of awe. You know, like wonderful is full of wonder. But so I would love it if awful meant that. So that is awful, full of awe. But what that is that that's Yosemite National Park in Northern California. And that's a picture of Half Dome. And so from that point of view, it's like, wow. But do you see those little specks? Those are people going up there. And there's a little ladder that you might see, and those are people actually going up there. And that picture is no big deal, but if you were to change your point of view and you were to climb that, every year I would take my year 12 students as their senior trip, as their last trip, you know, graduation trip, and we would go there and we would hike, and it was strenuous, it was crazy, but the accomplishment of getting to the top and to see the view of God's creation and how powerful it is and wonderful it is, we would go up there and they would look around and say, this is the most amazing experience that I've ever had in my life, other than meeting Jesus Christ. They would say, this is the most memorable trip that I've ever had. But looking at that particular picture, you might not feel that because you haven't experienced that. You haven't gone to the top and looked over and haven't been able to experience how filled with awe you are at the top. I want to show you another picture. This is amazing. This picture, this object is incredible, actually. Once again, I'm not feeling it from you. You're not really responding the way that I imagine. Well, it's because this is your point of view, but what this is actually this picture. It's part of the Great Wall of China. and see the difference between the first picture and now this picture is your point of view. See, because once you are able to pull back and to see how magnificent, once your view changes, it changes everything. It changes your understanding. It changes your appreciation. It changes what you think about it. It changes everything. Your point of view changes everything. And if you want to reboot your walk with God, you're going to need to reboot your point of view. That you're sometimes going to need to pull back from the shallowness of your situation, from the shallowness of your problems, from the shallowness of your circumstances, and you're going to need to pull back further and further and see from God's point of view that it's not just the wall that you're running into, but it's the great wall of God that He has a plan for your life. Can I get an amen? When my son was really little, you know, we would point out everything to him, right? Just to build his vocabulary and just to, for his senses. And so if there was a dog, you know, oh, there's a dog. And in Korea, we say mung mung yi. And so now he's grown up to the point where now he says hello to every dog that he sees on the street. Hi, mung mung yi. Hi, mung mung yi. You know, things like that. I'm like, Elijah, you don't have to say to hi every, you know, dog. You know, it's not going to say hi back to you. Actually, it doesn't care if you say hi. It doesn't even know you're talking to it. So, you know, no need. But we've kind of trained our son to, you know, to point out things, you know, mung mung doggy doggy, things like that. And so now every time he sees a dog, he acknowledges it, you know, like a good human should. But one thing we would be so filled with awe is an airplane, you know, going across the sky. You know, Elijah, that's an airplane, airplane, airplane. And so we would look at it, and as he got older, he asked, Daddy, how come airplanes are so small? I was like, no, airplanes are not big. He's like, but look at that airplane. That airplane is so small. And so, you know, we would put our thumbs next to it, and actually our thumbs are actually bigger than that airplane in the sky. And so he's like, why is the airplane so small? I was like, well, son, actually it's not. I don't know how to prove it to you. You just got to believe me. You know, the airplane is not small. It is big. But what he sees, his point of view, is that airplanes are small because the ones that he has seen are the ones that are high up in the sky. And when you put your finger next to it, it looks so small compared to your thumb. In fact, your thumb can blot it out. And then he took his first airplane trip. And we went on the, what do you call that, gateway or whatever. And we stood right next to it. And he began to be up close to that airplane, just really up close. And he was able to go inside. And so I was able to tell him, see, Elijah, airplane's not small. The airplane is big. He didn't feel that was too profound. But, you know, it was like, oh, great, you know. Can I get a drink? But the difference is that what changed in his mind was his point of view, whereas before, his only experience of airplanes was something really tiny in the sky that his finger could blot out. But now he was able to get up close. Come on, somebody. He was able to get up close to the real thing. That now, in his vision, this airplane is bigger than himself. And now what some of us in our walk and experience with God is that God seems so small, way up in the sky, that even my finger can blot out God, that that our image and our point of view of God is so small. But what we need to do is we need to change our point of view, and we need to get closer and closer and closer. And what happens is when you get closer to Him, oh, you're going to see that we serve a big God, that we serve a God that is bigger than us, that He's bigger than our problems, that He's bigger than our circumstances, that He's bigger than our issues, that we need to come closer. We need to have an encounter with Him. We need to be with Him. We need to draw closer to Him and see that He is mighty to save, that His hand is not too short, but He is mighty to save, that He is the healer, that He is the provider, that He is the redeemer, that He is God. Can I get an amen? Our text for today is Romans 12:1. If you have a Bible, you can go ahead and turn there. But if you want to live this year like new, you're going to have to change your view. Romans 12:1. And I'm going to use the NIV version because the NASB is just too difficult for me. You need a PhD to understand what it is. But the NIV version has a version that I want to use today. And it says in verse 1, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy. Somebody say view. in view of God's mercy to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. I'm just going to land on that one verse right now. In view of God's mercy, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Notice how it says that it is in view of God's mercy. But I see the problem is that we look at this verse and we think it says in view of our sin. See, because we live life with the view of our sin. It doesn't say in view of our sin. It doesn't say in view of our problems, in view of our circumstances, in view of our situations. The Apostle Paul is saying, look, you've got to change your view. But the view that you're looking through life, the view that you're looking, the lens that you're looking at God through is not through mercy, but it's through my problem. I'm having a hard time experiencing God because my problem is so great. I'm having a hard time experiencing God because my view is my view of my sin. Isn't it funny that we get this messed up and we offer ourselves before God in view of our sin, in view of our problems, in view of our difficulties, in view of our circumstances, in view of our financial difficulties? We mess this up. It doesn't say that. It says in view of God's mercy. And see, unless that changes, you're not going to be able to offer yourself as a living sacrifice. And you're going to continue living 2014, defeated, broken, listening to the lies of the enemy. Man, here's my situation. And all you can see is that wall in front of you. And all you can see is that mountain in front of you. But therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So what the Word of God is saying, don't fix your eyes on that wall in front of you. Don't fix your eyes on that mountain in front of you. But fix your eyes on the mountain mover. Can I get an amen? On the one that can change your circumstances. It's not about what you have to do or what you must do or what you can do. It's about who? It's about Christ. It's about Jesus. And so we need to change our view in view of God's mercy. We've got to change our view, the view of our circumstance. We've got to change the view of our hopelessness. We've got to change the view of our problems. We've got to change our view. It is in view of God's mercy. See, because we don't deserve this. We don't deserve new life. We don't deserve a second chance. The Apostle Paul himself said, oh, what a wretched man that I am. I do what I do not want to do, and what I want to do, I do not do. What a wretched man that I am. I sin all of the time. I fall so many times. Oh, but it is in view of his mercy that we get a second chance. Come on, somebody. It's in view of his mercy that we get new life. It is in view of his mercy that we get forgiveness, because we deserve justice. But the Bible says mercy triumphs over justice. And I'm not saying that we can continue to sin, because Paul says that we're no longer slaves of sin, but now slaves to righteousness. But even when we sin, mercy, it is in view of his mercy that we can offer our bodies as living sacrifice. It is in view of his mercy that we can live this life in freedom. That it is in view of his mercy and what he's done on the cross that we can experience life to the fullest, as it said in John 10:10. Because Jesus came to this earth so you can live life to the fullest. Not to live the defeated life that you're living now. Not to live the sorry life that you're living now. But to live life filled with the gifts and presence of God. Can I get an amen? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That is what it means to reboot for me, is that we've got to change our view. And then it continues to say, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so now we need to transform our mind. We need to change our stinking thinking. We got to change our attitudes of what we think of ourselves, what we think of our bodies, what we think of God's ability. We've got to change that. be transformed. And God is in the transforming business. See, what's powerful is that transformation is just so powerful, because what actually happens in a person is most people think that it cannot happen. And so, you know, you think to one of your girlfriends, you know, there's no way my sister can lose 100 pounds. That's just not going to happen. There's no way that's going to happen. And then she does it. She loses 100 pounds, and, you know, she pulls out her pants, and it's like, woo, you know, Weight Watchers, you know, Jenny Craig, you know, Subway Diet, whatever it is. You know, it's like, wow, that's an amazing transformation. I didn't think you could do it. It looked impossible, but you did it, and now I'm amazed. And that's what God is in the business of. He's in the business of transforming lives. That seems impossible, God is saying, it is possible. It is anyone who is in Christ. I can transform the drug addict. Come on, somebody. I can transform the addiction. I can transform the hatred. I can transform the bitterness. I can transform your life. If you were to be in Christ, I can do it if you were to let me. If you were to reboot your life and reboot your thinking. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Don't conform any longer to the patterns of this world. Many of you know in the Old Testament, sort of the system of atonement or system of forgiveness was that when you sinned, you have to present an animal and you have to sacrifice that animal. And the symbolism there is that your sins would be transferred to that animal and you would kill it, you would consume it, you would burn it. And that was symbolism that your sins are gone and that you are forgiven and things like that. And so every time you sin, you know, you would bring an animal to the altar and, you know, you would meet up with your neighbors. Hey, Joe, how you doing? Hey, Pete, how you doing? What's that goat for? You know, lied to my boss again. Again, you know, you got, you know, how many goats have you brought this week, you know? It's like, man, we could have a crazy all-you-can-eat barbecue at the rate you're going right now. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, so what's that dove? Oh, you know, I just didn't do what I was supposed to do. I forgot my, you know, wife's birthday, you know, and so, we got into an argument and I did some wrong things. So, oh, yeah, a dove would be appropriate for that, I guess. And then you got somebody that brings like 10 oxes. It's like, oh, dude, what happened to you? You know, but that was the system. And so the people would sacrifice that. But now Paul in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, is saying, you don't have to do that anymore, but instead offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. And what people would understand about that oxymoron, because a sacrifice is not living, is that you have to offer yourself fully, that you have to commit yourself fully. There's no partial offering. There's no partial commitment. It's not possible to give a partial sacrifice, that when you're going to offer yourself as a living sacrifice, you've got to offer yourself wholly, totally, completely, 100%. You can't take an arm here and just like char it a little bit, you know? You have to give your whole self. There's a story of a pig and a chicken, and they're walking down the road together. And as they walk along this road, they read a sign, because they can read. They read a sign advertising a breakfast to benefit the poor. And so the chicken, he says to the pig, you know what? You and I should donate a ham and egg breakfast for this cause. And the pig replied, wait, not so fast. See, because for you, chicken, it would be a contribution. But for me, it would be a total commitment. And so I wonder, what kind of Christian are you? Are you a chicken Christian or are you a pig Christian? Now, please forgive me. I'm not calling you chicken. Though if you're giving partial commitment to God, you may be a chicken. But are you giving partially? Are you giving contributions? See, because let's be honest, God is not really interested in your tithes and your offerings like he needs it. He's not interested in your 1 or 2 hours that you volunteer on Sundays to serve the church like he needs it. He's not interested in your partial contributions to charities and the poor. He's not interested in those contributions, but he wants pig Christians where it's a total commitment, where you can offer your life as a living sacrifice. See, but you can't do that in view of your problems, in view of your sorry, pitiful life, in view of your difficulty. You cannot do that. You've got to change your view. You've got to reboot. You need to see it in view of His mercy. See, because of His mercy, no matter how many times you fail, God says, I'm there. He's God Emmanuel, God with us. How many times you mess up, He is there. See, because our identity, once again, should not be found in the mess that we made, but it's got to be found in the price that He's paid, that this is who Christ is. And so God wants you to understand that the pig, at least, was not able to give a partial sacrifice. It's neither possible for us to give partial commitment. So to commit ourselves to God means that we yield to Him, that we surrender to Him, that we abandon ourselves to Him, that we entrust everything to Him and place ourselves at His disposal. True commitment is not something you can take back. The one thing that I tell our baptism candidates during our class is like, hey, are you sure about this? You know, are you sure? Because once you get baptized, there's no turning back. You can't go into the water, come out of the water and say, oh, I was just kidding. You know, I'm sorry. I was just, you know, it was just hot that day. You know, I thought I could cool off a little bit. You know, you can't turn back. It's a true commitment. It's not something you can take back. And so 2014, God wants to show you some new things, but He can't show you these new things until you transform your mind, until you renew your mind. God wants you to experience some new things, and how He's going to do that, He may take you back to old things. As we talked about last week in Jeremiah 6:16, that you stand at a crossroad. You stand at a decision point. Do I go left? Do I go right? What do I do? You stand at the crossroads, and the instructions are, look for the ancient paths. Look at the paths of truth. Look at the path of God's Word. Look at the path that has lasted for eternity, God's Word. Look at the ancient path. Sometimes God wants to show you something that's old, and it's so old that it looks very new. For some of our worship leaders and some of the offering sort of songs, I'll get some, you know, some requests, you know, hey, Pastor Gene, like, hey, can you recommend any songs? And what I tell them is, hey, I've got an idea. Let's pick a song that is really old, and so everyone thinks, wow, this is such a great new song. And the sad thing is, like, for a lot of our kids, we look at the hymns, you know, Great Is Thy Faithfulness and things like that. Some of the college kids are like, wow, what a great new song. It's like, sorry guys, it's 100 years old. But sometimes God wants us to redig those wells of revival. He wants us to go back to the basics, to the fundamentals. He's going to take us to those ancient paths because He wants to do a new thing. He wants to do a new thing. In order to receive a new thing, you're going to have a new mind. Do you hear what I said? In order to receive a new thing, you're going to have a new mind. Because if your mind is filled with your old ways, old things, there is no room for new things. And so if you want to receive a new blessing, you're going to have a new mind. You're going to have to get your thinking right. You're going to have to change your attitude. I'm reminded of sort of the parable of new wine. And in order to get new wine, you have to have new wineskin. God wants to pour new wine into SP. He wants to breathe new life into SP. He wants to breathe new life into your families. He wants to do that. He wants to give you new wine that is better, new wine that is more valuable, new wine. But He needs new wineskins. He needs you to renew your mind, to change your view that our God is not impotent, but He is all-powerful. That God is not stingy, but God is generous. That God is not weak, but He is strong. That God is God. We need to change our point of view. Can I get an amen? But He needs new wineskins. See, because the problem is, with old wineskins, is that it lacks the flexibility to contain the mobility of new wine. That the flexibility, these old wineskins are now hardened and will crack if there's new wine. And so what we need is new wineskins, because old wineskins are too stiff. And the wine is wasted as they crack, and the wine and the blessing is poured out onto the streets. That material, that old material, lacks the elasticity to handle the new wine that God has prepared and wants to give to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And these wineskins in the ancient days were made out of animal skin, so goat skin or cow skin or sheep skin. And these new wineskins had greater elasticity. And so what happens is that when you pour the wine into these new wineskins, the skins, they stretch. Oh, somebody's going to get this in a minute. These new wineskins, they stretch. And they stretch, and they stretch. And what I feel the Lord saying to us in 2014 is God's going to pour out new wineskins. He's going to pour out the new wine, but for some of us, it's going to mean we're going to stretch. And we're going to stretch. He's going to stretch your money. He's going to stretch your resources. He's going to stretch your abilities. He's going to stretch your finances. You might see that you only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Oh, but he's going to stretch that. Come on, somebody. He's going to stretch that into greater proportions, because our God is able to multiply the little that you have and use it for his glory. And God be praised. Can I get an amen? Oh, this is a year of stretching for some of you. It may look like nothing, oh, but he's going to fill and he's going to pour. And the interesting thing is this. You have no idea how far that wineskin can stretch until he fills it. You have no idea how far, how much this wineskin can stretch until he fills you. See, because for some of you, that speaks to you. The more you fill it, the more it begins to stretch, because some of you have learned this past year that you didn't know that you could take this much pressure and not break. Come on, somebody. You didn't know you could take this much garbage in your life and still not break. You didn't know how far you could bend and not break. Even the enemy thought you would break by now, but you didn't know how much you could handle, how much stress you could take and still stretch and not break. But the Lord is saying, I'm going to stretch you and you are not going to break, because the Lord is going to give you new wineskin and he's going to stretch you even more. Can I get in a hallelujah? Oh, shoot. Some of you are excited. Others of you are scared. Like, God, don't stretch me. Don't stretch me. But see, the other alternative is that you stay in the old wineskin where you're stiff and broken and cracked. And as the blessing comes in, it can't handle it. It can't handle it. And so it seeps out and it leaks and you lose it all. And you come to the end of the year in December and you're like, God, where were you? Where are you? Where's the blessing? Where's the promises? And his response may be, hey, I filled you. I gave it to you. But you couldn't handle it. Now is a year for new wineskins to replace that. In relative to all of us, my age is not that old. You know, I'm not like grandpa, like Pastor Sam here, you know. But one thing that I do feel as I'm getting older is my body is beginning to break down. And so, you know, something simple as like tying my shoes becomes a medical issue, you know. It's like I bend down. It's like, oh, call the doctor. It's like it's hard for me to breathe. Oh, that was, you know, that was, what do you call that? Cardiovascular, that was a very cardiovascular good workout, just bending down there. Oh, I'm out of breath already, you know. Or my back is hurting, things like that. Or, you know, these days I'm just thinking, man, I have to go to a podiatrist so that podiatrist can teach me how to walk again. I don't even know how to walk without there being pain in my foot. You know, it's just like my body is breaking down. And it would be so awesome if I could have a brand new body. But the Bible says I will have a brand new body. That I will have a resurrected body, come on, somebody. That I'll be able to fly like Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant. That this Asian will be able to dunk a basketball in heaven. You know, praise the Lord for that. But in order to do that, we've got to reboot and we've got to change our point of view. We've got to understand that God is almighty, that God is powerful. See, as God stretches you this year, some of you have been tried on and lied on, but you're still here. Come on, somebody. That you've been aggravated and irritated, but you're still here. That you've been beaten down, busted, and disgusted, but you're still here. You still made it somehow. You've been lonely and rejected, but you're still here. See, God didn't bring you this far to leave you there, but he's brought you this far to be faithful to complete the work that he started in you. Can I get an amen? That some of us are thinking, man, I don't know how this is going to turn out. Oh, you don't need to know how it's going to turn out. It's going to turn out wonderful. Do you believe that? Because he knows the plans that he has for you. So this is the new year of new wineskin. That we're going to need to change our point of view. You've got to get rid of that old mentality that God is not with you, that God is not there, that God cannot, that God will not. And you've got to change that. You've got to change your old mentality. See, because that old mentality will nullify the new opportunity that God has for you. Because this is the year that God wants to give you that new job. But you need a new mind. This is the year that God wants to give you that new relationship. But you have to have a new mind. Come on, somebody say amen for the sisters and the brothers that need some. Come on. God, this is the year God wants to give you that relationship, but you're going to need a new mind. God wants to give you that new promotion, but you're going to need a new mind. God wants to give you a new ministry, but you've got to have a new mind. Before God gives you new favor, you got to have a new mind. See, because this year, I'm going to leave behind the old mess. And though I'm going to maybe face some new messes, I'm going to leave the old mess behind and I'm going to face the new mess. I might fight a new battle, but I'm going to leave the old battle behind. Regardless, I'm going to leave what is behind and I'm going to look forward, pressing on towards the goal that Christ has called me heavenward. And as we change our point of view, as we change it to in view of his mercy and not in the view of our sin, not in the view of our problems, in view of his mercy, faith will arise. Has anyone in this room set a goal for themselves for 2014? I want my faith to grow. Well, how do you do that? What does that look like? Faith is not praising God for what you already have, but faith is praising God for what he's about to give you. I'm going to say that again. Faith is not praising God for what you already have. Faith is praising God for what he's going to give you. He's going to give you a new mind. He's going to give you a new life. He's going to give you a new identity. He's going to give you a new heart. He's going to give you a new hope. He's going to give you new light. He's going to give you those things, and we ought to praise him for that, not because you already have it, but because you have faith in him. See, because if you praise him for what you already have, that's called thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus, for what I already have, for what you already gave me. That's thanksgiving and praise. But faith is, God, I don't see it right now. I have no idea how you're going to do this, but I praise you anyway. I have no idea how it's even possible, but I'm going to praise you anyway. I know that I feel like my life is being taken away from me, but I'm going to praise you anyway. I know that I'm stuck in prison and in chains, but I'm going to praise you anyway. This has got to be what our thinking changes into. Not in view of our problems or situation, but in view of his mercy. Though I deserve death, though I deserve punishment, God is faithful to complete the work that he started in us. Can I get an amen? This is the year. This is the year that we've got to let go of the past. This is the year where we refuse to hold on to our past and through our pain and through our tragedies and through our difficulty. This is the year where we refuse to hold on our history, but instead grab forward to the destiny that God has called us for. Can I get an amen? If I can have the worship team come up. This is the year where we need to reboot the way that we think about ourselves, think about our bodies, think about our souls, think about God. This is the year that we need to reboot and to review, to view again in view of his mercy. See, because if you want to live this year like new, you're going to have to change your view. And how can you change your view? Number one, you've got to make a plan to get into God's word. You've got to make a plan. We have plans for everything else except a plan of faith. We have a plan on how to lose weight. We have a plan on how to save money. We have financial plans. We have family plans. We have vacation plans. We have all sorts of plans, but we don't have a spiritual formation plan. We don't have a quiet time plan. If I were to ask you, what are you going to do to grow in encountering and experiencing God? Many of us might say, I don't know. I don't know. Last year, I was going to do a regular quiet time. And the year before that, I was going to do a regular quiet time. And the year before that, I was going to do a regular quiet time, but no change. What makes you think this year, 2014, you're going to keep a regular quiet time? Do you have a plan? One plan maybe is that I'm not going to eat until I read God's word. That's a plan. That I'm not going to have lunch or dinner. I am actually not going to eat any food until I read my Bible. That could be a plan. Oh, because the word of God is living and active. It's like a double-edged sword, able to pierce the sinews and marrows. And in God's word, you're going to see the theme of God's heart is that he loves you, that he's faithful, that he's full of grace, rich in mercy, and abundant in love. Second way you can change your view is that you can start serving. You can begin to minister to people, because then you'll see them face to face. And in fact, when you serve people face to face, you're going to see Jesus because you need Jesus. You're going to serve people that are unservable. You're going to serve people that are unlovable. And you're going to say, Jesus, oh, I need you. How I need you. Oh, I need you. Jesus, I need you. Would you show up in this situation? My parents aren't saved. Jesus, would you show up in this situation? My boss is on my case. I may lose my job. Jesus, help me to serve him. And lastly, on how you can change your view, is that you need to surround yourself with community. That's why we continue to encourage you to be a part of our house church. You need to surround yourself with community who can lift you up in prayer, that can support you, that can cry with you, that can rejoice with you, that can love with you, that can help you, that can be with you. So this morning I want to sort of encourage you and help you to identify the fact that you're not going to change in 2014, just like you didn't change in 2013, just like you haven't changed in 2012, just like you haven't changed the last 10 years, you're not going to change unless you begin to shut off everything and start it again, and you begin to reboot. And you begin to change your view. So if you want to live this year like new, you're going to have to change your view. So let's do that this morning. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Let's meditate upon the goodness of God. See, because some of you being in this room is a testimony already that many years ago, you were left dead in the streets. Many years ago, you were stuck in a rut. Many years ago, that you were facing an impossibility. Oh, but out of the mercies of God, he's brought you here. And you being here this morning is not an accident, because he knew what he was doing. And he wanted to say, my son, my daughter, don't fix your eyes on the problems that you're facing. But lift your eyes to heaven and think about those things. Whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is noble, whatever is excellent, whatever is worthy, think about those things. So we're going to sing this song as an attempt to just begin to take our focus off of ourselves, that we begin to view the mercies of God. And so let's lift this up together.
When I call on your name, you answer. When I fall, you are there by my side. You delivered me out Yes, oh.
Stand to our feet. I found a love. Romans 12:1-2 one more time. leave you with this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let me pray over you. Lord, we just ask, God, that this year, 2014, would be the year where our minds are renewed, that our view, our point of view would be correct, that we would no longer think that you are not able, that you are not able to do anything, but God, that you are greater, that you are bigger, that you are better than anything that we can, this world has to offer. For Lord, this world leads to destruction, but Lord, your ways lead to eternal life. And so God, help us to continue to be renewed in our minds. And may we see this year, 2014, as we reboot, to be a year of transformation, a year of experiencing and encountering the living God. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our Heavenly Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with those who have renewed their minds and are transformed. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful week, and meet somebody new today and say hello.